But we've been looking in 1 John chapters 1 and 2. We're going to try to tie that up today. And my concept has been, you need to know that the Lord stands up for us. If you're a guy, I just heard somebody give a testimony about this yesterday, of he and two friends, and he was the best man in one of their weddings and a groomsman in the other wedding, and in between the three of them, and they all stood up with each other. And though they aren't together all the time anymore, they never, every time they see each other, it's just right back to that spot where, you know, hey, I remember I stood up for you, you stood up with me. And you need to know the Lord is like that. He wants you to walk with him every moment of every day. But if you get disjointed a little bit, he has stood up for you. He has sacrificed for you. He is the propitiation. The only way that the wrath of God gets off your life is through him. And he is our advocate. He represents us, not just before the Father, but against the enemy as well. He stands up for us. And that's what all of these things we've been talking about center around that. Don't lose that. As a matter of fact, deepen that, grow in that, and allow him to be the fullest expression of that as he possibly can. 1 John chapter 2, we'll do a little review. First, I'm going to read to you verses 15, 16, and 17 from the Passion Translation. Don't set the affections of your heart on this world. New American Standard and other versions say, love not the world, or don't love the world. So don't set your affections on this world in loving the things of the world. The love of the Father and the love of the world are incompatible. Haven't you found that to be true? That's the way it is. That's where confusion and frustration and all that stuff happens. Because it's like that Miller Lite commercial, you just feel strongly both ways. Well, that sellout, the abandonment is necessary so that you feel much stronger about one way than you do the other, right? Yes, I watch football, so I've seen the Miller Lite commercials. For all that the world can offer us, the gratification of our flesh, the allurement of things of the world, and the obsession with status and importance, none of these things come from the Father, but from the world. Now, it doesn't mean they don't come. They just don't come from him. And so they'll come knocking on your door, you know, right? I mean, it's like Satan eats. He delivers. That was like Uber Eats. I'm sorry if I went too fast. We'll rerun it. The idea is it's not that these things don't come, but we need to be prepared knowing that they come and have that yes in your heart towards the Lord ready. Because it doesn't come from God. Well, when it comes right down to it, the stuff that doesn't come from God is ungodly, isn't it? And sometimes it's like really insignificant or doesn't seem too important, but it's kind of like paint or varnish. You put enough layers on that thing and you can't see what the original grain of the wood is anymore if you keep doing that. And that's what happens to a lot of people. But all those things, he says, don't come from the Father, but from the world. This world and its desires are in the process of passing away. We would call that dying. In the process, atrophying. Process of dying, of passing away. But those who love to do the will of God will live forever. Now just think about that. People who love God will live forever. Other stuff passes away. We were talking the other day about this with somebody. My dad ran a body shop, and we always kept a little junkyard behind the body shop. We'd have 4, 5, 6 old cars, because in those days you could rob parts and do all that kind of stuff, and whether that was mechanical or a fender or a bumper or, you know, whatever. And always had them like that. And then once a year or so, we'd have a guy from the junkyard come and get all those cars, and we'd buy wrecks and that kind of stuff and rebuild them. You'd have the carcasses of the cars sitting out there. we had one of the school teachers would always tell us, before you go buy a car, go look behind the shop, because they're all going to end up like that. And I thought, yeah. I still wanted a new GTO, sorry. I got the junk behind the shop, just in case. But that's what things are like. And you can remember if you bought a new car 4, 5, 6 years ago, it smelled good, it looked good, it felt good. payment wasn't good, but everything else was good. And you really loved and enjoyed it. And then 5, 6, 7, 8 years later, you're going, I got to get rid of this thing. It's killing me. It's costing me money. Now I had to put a water pump, you know, all that kind of stuff. Just in a matter of, you know, 4, 5, 6, 7 years, whatever that period of time happens to be, depending on what you bought, it deteriorates. Well, that's what things of the world are like. They, most things don't appreciate. Now, if you had a baseball card of Mickey Mantle in his rookie year, that might be a different story. But the card itself is going to rot away. The value of it might have increased. Most things aren't like that. Most things are, they start, you go buy a new car and 3 months later you need to get rid of it. You've already gone through a depreciation of thousands of dollars, right? I'm not picking on cars. I'm just saying that's what the system is like. And he said, don't get all tangled up in the system, because it isn't good for you and it won't help you. 1 John chapter 2, verse 16 from the Amplified says it this way. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, craving for sensual gratification, the lust of the eyes, greedy longings of the mind, and the pride of life, the assurance in your own resources or the stability of earthly things, these do not come from the Father, but from the world itself. Wow. And we are so human. And we get drawn and pulled and pushed and attracted by things that aren't necessarily evil, but they aren't necessarily good or godly either, right? So that's like kind of like eating nothing but candy bars and potato chips. They fill you up, but there's not a whole lot of good stuff in there for you. Are they evil? No, but your doctor's going to put you on medication if you keep that up, right? We can't ingest those things. The Bible says don't love the world. But the Bible says God so loved the world. And I've had people bring this up to me. Well, that's confusing. Well, it kind of is, except the world isn't the people or the place. It's the system by which it's run, which is evil and ungodly. It is. And so don't get all caught up in that. And we've looked in Ephesians 2 a number of times. I'm not going to take you there, but the Bible's real clear. People are born in darkness, dead in their trespasses and sins when they're physically born. We all were. That's how it is. Everybody you know, that's the truth. And there's this path, there's this course of the world, it says, the Bible says, where those who operate by the spirit of disobedience, which is the enemy, are trapped in. And they may be benevolent and kind and sweet people, but they are not on the highway to heaven. They're separated from God and they're caught up in being run by the system. And so they're on the treadmill and we got to get them off. People have to get out of darkness and into light. That's the purpose. But we lose touch with the fact that that's what the world we're born into is like. It's just exactly like that. The scriptures are pretty clear in the way they present this. And it's hard, I think, for modern Americans to get a hold of it. 1 John chapter 12, verse 31 says, now judgment is upon the world, and the ruler of this world will be cast out, referring to Satan as the ruler of the world system. You see that? John 14, 30, I love this verse. Jesus said, I will not speak much more with you, talking to the disciples, for the ruler of this world is coming, and he has nothing in me. Nothing in me. There's nothing of the enemy in the Lord. So one of the prime things the enemy does is try to get people to blame the Lord for things that he does. Yeah. And that's really true. Why did God do this? Well, it happened, but he didn't do it. Well, I said, if that's not his signature, that's not even a good forgery. The enemy tries to make us believe that things that he has done happened at the Lord's hand. And that's not the case. So Jesus said, the devil's coming, and what's going to happen? Well, he's going to get crucified. But he's also going to get resurrected, which the enemy wasn't counting on. So, but because that was going to happen, he says, the enemy's coming. He doesn't have a toehold in me. He doesn't have a foothold in me. There's not one lever he can pull that makes me move. I ain't Pinocchio, and he ain't Geppetto. I am not going to move when he strikes because I'm settled. I know in whom I believe. And so, but he's recognizing him. Jesus calls him the ruler of the world. That's who's running the system. First John chapter 4, verse 4 says, "You are from God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." Now, he wouldn't tell you, don't love the world, if you didn't have a capacity not to, right? And so that's this thing of overcomer. And if we always are overwhelmed, we can't be overcomers. And the enemy's job is to keep us semi-overwhelmed all the time. And there's stuff, there's not like there isn't stuff. He does come with overwhelming stuff. That doesn't mean we have to be overwhelmed, right? That be the truth. 1 John 5:19 says, "We know that we are of God." You got to know that. Well, but sometimes they don't act like it. Get in line. We have to know that we are from God. And that's what he says. Touch on that a little bit more in a minute. But we are from God, and the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. Wow. That's strong language, isn't it? Well, that means he's in control. No, it means he's in control of this system. And that's why we're going to have a new heaven and a new earth, totally new system. Right? And so if there weren't somebody in charge of an evil system, who are we fighting? Who are we combating? Why are we transferred out of that system and into a new one? Got to be one to be transferred from, doesn't there? And so sometimes we get this idea, well, God's got the whole world in his hands. He does, and the enemy's running the show down here. When the Lord comes back, it won't be that way. It won't be that way. And we're here to enforce his victory, so it doesn't have to be that way. He says, pray as it is in heaven on the earth. That's our job, to influence this culture, this society, this age with the kingdom of God. There are two kingdoms. One's dark, one's the kingdom of the love of God, love of his dear son. And so we got to be firmly planted in this one so we can ransack this one. But you got to believe this one exists, or you won't be trying to help people bail out because you don't think they're in any trouble. They are. And so there are people today that think if you talk about heaven and hell, that's you're preaching hate and fear. No, you're preaching deliverance and truth. But see, the enemy would like to make that look like hate and fear, right? So he says, don't love the world. Don't love the processes. Don't get all caught up in this stuff. So Luke chapter 4, this probably says it as clear as anything. Verse 5, this is Jesus facing the enemy in the wilderness. And the enemy led Jesus up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. All the kingdoms of the world. That's a pretty good trick, isn't it? He had to have them in order to offer them, right? And the devil said to him, I'll give you all of this dominion, and its glory, for it's been handed over to me, and I will give it to whomever I wish. Therefore, if you worship before me, it shall all be yours. In other words, you bow down to me, and you can have the whole world. And, you know, I can hear Jesus saying, I already love the whole world. I don't need to have what you got. Right? But he said, no thanks. No thanks. But here's Jesus being confronted by the enemy who has in his grip, it says, all of the kingdoms of the earth. A lot of people just don't believe that. But that's true. All you got to do is read the paper, the 11 of you who are still subscribed, and or listen to the news and you find out what's going on in all the nations of the earth. And it's chaos and slavery and sex trafficking and, you know, drug addiction and corruption in the governments and just nuts. What is that? That's the outplaying of the system. That's what that is. And so he says, don't get involved in that. Because you get all wrapped up in that, it's harder to get out than you think it might be. Yeah. But John 16 says this way, an amplified version, verse 33. Jesus said, I've told you these things that in me you may have peace and confidence. In the world you have tribulation and trials and distress and frustration. Could I get a witness? I mean, that stuff happens out there, doesn't it? But be of good cheer, take courage, be confident, certain, undaunted, for I have overcome the world, and I have deprived it of power to harm you, and have conquered it for you. Wow. I have deprived it of power to harm you, and I've conquered it for you. Not that I'm going to. I've done it. That's strong. We have to live in that. Now, are there troubles? Yeah. I mean, we're in the middle of one right now in my house. But it's not final. You know, is it real? I'm telling you. Yes, it is. And do I understand it all? Not my job. My job is to believe that what he says. I've deprived this from hurting you, from taking life away from you, and I've conquered it for you. And I if you don't believe that, I mean like believe that, there are times when George quoted Jonathan, it's to make you better. He doesn't let it happen to make it better. He says in this world there'll be trouble. Trouble comes. He'll cause the trouble to make you better. Huh? Well, I don't like that. You need to have some courage. You need to say, I hate that. But I do realize in the middle of it all, it causes us to cooperate with our destiny, which is to be conformed to the image of Christ. And, well, does it take trouble to do it? No, but he promises there's trouble out there, so he always uses it to make it happen. He can use blessing to make you like the Lord too. See, don't miss that part. Well, we got to go through a lot of trouble because I had to be like Jesus. Jesus had fun. Yes. He celebrated. He rejoiced. He did. It's not always bad stuff. It's our response to the bad stuff that makes it difficult. Because if we don't have a decent response to the bad stuff, then it doesn't conform us. It just wears us down. Why do you think it says don't grow weary in well-doing? Because there's a lot of weariness in well-doing. That's why. It took me years to figure that one out. And again, oh, like you kind of said that was going to happen. But if you understand that, he says, don't worry, because I got something at the end of this thing. Yes. And it's not all heaven. It's not all there. A lot of it's here. Yes. It's supposed to be. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. That's the kingdom of God. Right? So when he says love not the world, it's not just, yeah, I probably, you know, shouldn't see as many movies, or I probably shouldn't do this. It's not about I want to ruin your life or mess with your time. What I want you to know is don't chew the bark when you can have the honey. You know what I'm saying? Don't get all caught up in the wrapper when you can have what's on the inside. That loving the world is that way. It's you get infatuated with, you know, what it looks like the real thing instead of experiencing the real thing. So felt like I didn't have a chance to make a strong touch on that last week, and I really, really wanted to, so I did. I want to look real quickly as we can, at 1 John chapter 3, just three or four verses. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. See how great a love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we would be called children of God, and such we are. For this reason, the world does not know us, because it didn't know him. We'll come back to that. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not appeared as yet what we will be. We're going to be different than we are. And every guy's wife said, thank God. But that's what he's saying. The way we are right now isn't how we're going to be. We're the children of God right now, but it has not yet appeared what we're going to be like. He also doesn't exactly tell you what it is, but he said, this isn't the end of it. I mean, this isn't just a quick paint job and push you through. There's greater things coming, greater change coming. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not appeared as yet what we will be. We know that when he appears, we'll be like him. Because we'll see him just as he is. That's pretty good. That's pretty good. But I'm telling you, every time we see him a little bit, we're supposed to change a little bit and be more like him. We're not just waiting, well, we're kind of losers now, but once Jesus shows up, we'll all be okay. That's not the promise. That's not the power. That's not the purpose. It's that we have a history with him, we live with him, we communicate with him, and he reveals stuff to us, shows stuff to us, causes the scriptures to become alive to us. We get prompted and led and schooled by the Spirit of God, and he causes us to change on the inside so much that it changes what we do on the outside. That's the church, man. That's what we're supposed to be doing. And then he's going to show up on these days and voila. We're going to be like him because we're going to see him like he is. And how can we describe that? This is so interesting to say this. I'll just say it right here. I was going to save this, but John already saw him that way. He did. And read the book of Revelation. He saw. There are revelations of what Jesus is like that are only spoken of in the book of Revelation. They're not spoken of anywhere else. And John also was on the Mount of Transfiguration when Jesus was translated in front of them and his glorious body, right? So he's had at least two pretty good looks at what's beyond. And he said, there isn't a dictionary, there's no word, we're going to change. You have no idea what's coming. But it's coming incrementally and it's coming instantly, both. When he comes, instantaneous. In between now and then, it's incremental. It's one experience, one connection, one revelation at a time. Can't miss that. And if we're all tangled up in the world, we don't even know it's happening. It gets nullified. That's why he says, don't love the world. We know that when he appears, we'll be like him because we'll see him just as he is. And everyone who has this hope fixed on him purifies himself as he is pure. And I was just going to talk about broken hope today. Because a lot of people didn't get their hope fixed. And hope can be broken and hope can be focused. Fixed has more than one connotation. This is centered on, focused on, fixed on. But there's a lot of people whose hope's so broken, they couldn't tune in WHB if they were next door to it. You know what I mean? Hope is shattered, broken, unfounded, ungrounded, and who can believe that that could happen? Yeah, this is part of it. Knowing what I just read, knowing that that's going to happen incrementally and instantaneously, that's a hope fixer. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Fix your hope on him. It doesn't have to be on, but I have promises and I'm too old to see them happen, or I know this can't happen because it involved that person died, or, you know, no. He's our hope. He is our hope. He's the God of hope. And when you fix your hope, focus in on him, hope in life begins to return. And that's what he's saying. Don't get too pushed out. Don't get so drugged out. Don't get so farmed out with your affections that you can't gather your heart for the Lord. Just fix your hope. I love the dual meaning of that. Fix your hope. If it's broken, get where you can get it fixed. Let's hear from you. Let's pray for you. Let's let the Lord just soak you in his presence and quicken his word to you. Let somebody love on you without it costing you anything. Whatever it takes to fix your hope, right? Because when that happens, then the promises find a way of re-emerging. Fix your hope on him. Fix your hope on Jesus. And when you do that, it says, you will purify yourself just as he's pure. Well, how do you do that? Well, you start thinking about him. And you start thinking about his promises. And you start thinking about his realities. And it begins to change the things that you're thinking about. And we become like those things we give the most attention to. So the more that we give attention to what he's like and what his promises are, you can't help it. You go sit by the fire. Even if you never warm up, you're going to come home smelling like smoke. Right? There are telltale parts of that. You're going to start smelling like smoke. If you do that long enough, people are going to know, I don't know much about you, but you've been sitting by the fire. Well, you know what? After a while, you're going to have more than smoke to offer. Because where there's smoke, there's fire. That's really pretty good. We need to know that. What are we giving attention to? When we're having a lot of troubles, it's hard not to give attention to the troubles. As a matter of fact, there's sometimes it's totally irresponsible if you don't give attention to the trouble. But it's also irresponsible not to think that the one who's the deliverer and the rescuer can get you out of the trouble. Little secret, one of the ways God gets you out of trouble is to get you through trouble. Now, I never liked signing up for that one, because I never prayed get me through it. I always prayed get me out of it. And he's real good at that too. But it might be better for me to get through it, because I might have something new to give away to somebody who's going to be going through it. Right? So you got to recognize, if you're in trouble, you have to say, Lord, you're sovereign. You know best. And between you and me, get me the heck out of here yesterday, but at an acceptable time, oh Lord. When did he send Jesus? In the fullness of time. Man, I'll tell you what, the Lord pays no attention to overflow, because he knows what full is. Because how many times he's been late before he showed up on time? I tell people, he's late a lot until he shows up, and then somehow he's always on time. When you're not directed by time and bounded by time, that's not so hard to do. Now, I mean, this is really important, because I found myself more than once, you got to get me out of this, because you've told me to do this and this and this and this, and you've called me to do this, and I can't do this, this and this, as long as I'm trapped here. And then I thought, well, I really shouldn't be telling you what can and can't happen. But I found that's what I was doing. And yet, we're all human. We all want out. I want away from the pain. I want away from the trouble. I want away from the difficulty. I want to get away from the squeeze and the frustration and the pressure. And it's not that he wants you to buckle under that. He just knows, yeah, and the plan I got for it's going to blow you away. But you're going to have to live till the letter gets mailed. You know? Check's in the mail, right? And but I don't know who the deliverer is. It could take longer for that letter to get here, so to speak, than you might think is probable. But you know what? He does a lot of stuff in between that time, to the point where it almost becomes anticlimactic because of what he's done. In between the time he said, I can't take it anymore, and it's over. Because I've said that a month. I can't take it anymore until tomorrow when I take some more. I mean, right? But if there's mercies are fresh every morning, I mean, you know. So I'm not saying go home and be happy and suffer. That's not what I mean. I'm just saying recognize, he says, in this world, there's frustration and trouble and difficulty. Why? Because it's in this world. Not because, I can't tell you how many people I've prayed for, and poor Juan, he's sitting here. But I put my hand on their shoulder and I'd see a bullseye on their chest. And I'd say, well, that's the problem. We got to take the bullseye off your chest, because you aren't the only one. It doesn't mean you aren't getting shot at. It's just that there's more. This is more normative than you understand. Yeah, that's why fiery darts are extinguished by a shield of faith. Why? Because they're fiery darts. Right? Why would you need one if there weren't fiery darts? Are you with me? No, it's that, well, that means you always are in trouble. No, it just means there's always that probability, because the enemy's a loser, a liar, a cheater, a thief, a destroyer, a murderer, right? And this world stinks. It's ungodly. The stuff of the world doesn't issue from heaven, doesn't come from God. It's coming through this broken system. So stuff, I saw somebody the other day pulled over. They still had the purchase thing on there, so they didn't have license plate yet. You know, and the car was being towed. And I thought, there's an unhappy man. Because when it's new, it's not supposed to do that. Now, it's probably covered by warranty, but you weren't planning on breaking down on I-29. You know? That's what the world system can be like. Deuteronomy chapter 7. Only got one more. Because we have to understand why God does what he does. This is way back, Deuteronomy 7, verse 7. The Lord did not set his love on you, nor choose you, speaking to Israel, because you were more in number than any of the peoples, for you were actually the fewest of all the peoples. So it wasn't because you had so many people that he chose Israel. But because the Lord loved you and kept the oath which he swore to your forefathers, the Lord brought you out by a mighty hand, redeemed you from the house of slavery, from the hand of Pharaoh, the king. He chose Israel because he chose to love them. So why does he promise and do stuff for us? Because he loves us. Not because we're extra special, super, whatever, but because he chose to love us. First Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and won't fade away and is reserved in heaven for you. You who are protected by the power of God through faith for salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials. Yeah, that happens. So all these wonderful promises, everything that's great, ready for you, can't be taken away, can't be tarnished, doesn't rust, increases with value, doesn't decrease in value, even though you're going to have a little problem on the way. That's what he says. The normalcy of fighting the good fight. The normalcy of recognizing if stuff happens, I'm not the only one. Because the enemy wants you to think you're the only one going through it. Because if he can isolate you, that's how you pick people off, is getting them isolated. Well, it's me and it's only me. How come this isn't happening to so-and-so? Well, if it was happening to them, would it make you feel better? Well, I wouldn't be feeling this, at least. No, you don't want to wish that on anybody else, right? And it's, well, why aren't they having trouble? You have no idea the ordeals they go through. And you have no idea what it's cost them to get to the point where they are. Because you think that about people sometime, and when you get to know them, you realize, wow, what's happened to you? You know, I don't know if I could have done that. I didn't know this happened. I didn't know that happened. Oh, my. And, you know, I love it when people don't have trouble, you know? That's a good thing. I mean, we don't have to have trouble all the time. It's just always out there. And we're so prone to inviting ourselves into it. Right? Lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, the boastful pride of life. We just go fishing and we take the bait. That's what happens. Because most of the time, we're less aware of our part in it. And then after everything shakes out, the thing you're most upset about are the self-inflicted things. Well, self-inflicted mean I bought it. I chose it. I knew better, right? But in a moment, now, that's not the Lord judging every move that you make. It's just that he loves us, and he would rather you didn't have to suffer things that you don't have to go through, right? Haven't you ever told your kids, you don't know? Well, by now you ought to know as a parent, they don't know, but they don't think you know either. Right? I can't tell you, I did youth ministry for a long time. People would call me, will you tell them this? And I said, well, why don't you tell them? They don't listen to me anymore, but they'll come home and tell me things you said, and it's the same thing we said. And I said, well, for $50. No, I didn't know. It was $100. But it's true sometimes. If we need to hear that, that's why our iron sharpens one another, and we need relationships because they can help us see, oh, that's right, isn't it? But I'm so tuned, I've tuned this voice out so much, I can't hear it through that voice. That's not true of every child and every parent, but there's this universal thing of we know, you know. I remember how much easier this job was for me when I knew everything. You did. You had a verse for that, and a verse for that, and a verse for that. It took care of everything. But that works on paper. That didn't work on people. You got to get into it. And hate with, you know what I'm saying? Grappling with that. And he's saying, listen, I got this, all this stuff reserved for you. And it can't get taken away from you. But down here, there's some distress and frustration because you've been transferred out of this world. But the world hasn't been transferred yet. The operating system. You know, you're on iPhone, they're not. Different language, different operating system. And you push the button, it don't cancel things. Different system. And that's not going to change. As a matter of fact, you can see the reality of that different system the more you grow in this one. And it's the more obtuse it becomes. The more like, why would anybody do that? Because they don't know any better. Now, don't go tell them that. Because that looks like arrogance on your part, and they'll probably hurt you. But the reality is, they're not operating on the same value system that you are. So you have to be able to take that. And that's where some of the frustration and the difficulties come, is realizing, I got to walk this knowing that my boss, my governor, my mayor, my councilman, I mean, you know, my supervisor, my uncle, whomever it is, they don't think the same way about this I do. And imagine being Jesus. Nobody thought like he thought. And he lived here 33 years. How did he do that? Well, he recognized when the enemy came, he spoke the truth, right? He realized they weren't living by the truth and didn't expect them to. Wanted them to change, but he wasn't, oh my God, these people who don't know God are acting ungodly. You think? Right? You think? That doesn't justify the action or the thought, but it does lend some explanation. So, he says that we are his children. I put in your out, not Warren Buffett's kids, not Patrick Mahomes' kids, not George Clooney's kids, or whomever you admire. We're God's kids. And even God says so. I mean, it'd be different if, you know, Pat Robertson or, you know, somebody that's been a Christian a long time said, well, this is true. No, the Lord says so. I'm a child of God because he says so. So put that in your pipe and smoke it. Right? And it's just not, we're called that. He claims that we're that, and he gives us promises according to that. That's amazing stuff. It says, look at the kind of love that God's loved us with. This is so good. One of the, whomever I did a little research on this, it actually means this. What country did this kind of love come from? In other words, I've been living around here a long time, and I've never seen anything like this. That's, he says, behold, take a look, stop, value this, look at it. We're the children of God. Look at the kind of love. It's this tremendously wonderful, never ever been matched, never ever been equaled before love, and we get it. So behold, that means hold on and pay attention. And we go, oh yeah, yeah, God loves us. No, 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 this is a big deal. This has never happened before. Never has it happened on earth before, this kind of love. And we get in on it. Oh, I don't know if I understand it. Well, look at it more, you will. The more you pay attention to it, the more. And he's saying, if you see this, if you recognize this, then you're going to recognize we're his kids, and it does, who knows what we're going to look like the more we grow up. Right? Now, when he shows up, it's all going to be different. But we're the children of God. And because that's true, and we fix our hope on him, we would say, oh, I'm paying attention to this. He says, well, that'll begin to purify you. The only way you're going to get holy is by the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. But man, does it work better if we cooperate. And that's what he's saying. And if I'm over here loving the world, yeah, I need to quit. I'll tell you what I used to tell the kids. Because I had some stupid kids. I mean, they were great, but they thought, he doesn't know anything, you know anything. And, you know, I mean, we used to do, he'd show up with a hickey. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
And said, what's that? Oh, I was working in the car, it's a muffler burn. Yeah, right. I used that when I was a kid, so you can. Yeah, but you know, stuff like that, and they thought you'd believe it because you don't know anything. You know? But if I've been over here in close enough connection with the spirit of the world that I'm bearing marks that prove I've been there, I just need to say that was dumb, and I can't even hide it from me, let alone from you. So I need to own up. I need to fix my hope. I need to get focused back on you, because that's how you get purified. And no, I don't know about you, but I had kids come and tell me all the things they were swearing off and what they wouldn't do anymore, and they weren't going to do this and they weren't going to do that. And I said, for how many hours? Because all of those things we swear unto, we're actually just locking ourselves up into breaking a vow, right? But you can say, with everything that's in me, I'm asking the Lord to empower me to quit that, not to be attracted by that. And as long as I'm attracted by that, I'm going to lean this way. So Lord, help change the way I look and think about that kind of stuff. Change the way I feel about that kind of stuff. And put me around some people that if I'm feeling and leaning that way, they'll say, dude, what are you doing? Rather than come and have to pick you up after you did it. Now, thank God there are people who do that. But do you understand what I'm saying? And this is what he's saying. We're the children of God. It says, and the world doesn't know us. And, well, we know lots of people in the world. But see, the world doesn't know who he is. And when they don't know who he is and what he's like, it doesn't mean a tiddlywink to them that we might be his kids. So if we live differently, prove like we're related to him, and they come to know him, and then they find out we're children of God, it makes a big difference. Now, they may dislike us more, but for good reason. I mean, good reason. I don't like being rejected by anybody for any reason. You know, I'm human. But you know what? If somebody blames me because I loved God right and they didn't like it, yippee-yay. thank you, Lord. So that's why he's saying, listen, don't get all caught up in the world. Recognize that we're the children of God. And it's just not that we're going to be. We are the children of God. And by being a child of God, the longer you walk with him, the more resemblance is to come forth. It's true in the natural, it's true in the spiritual. And the more that happens, the more of our destiny is being carved and focused. And you know what? It has a deeper impact. It has a deeper impact. John's writing to him, says, little children. John's 90-some years old. He's been boiled in oil. He's been, put on in a penal colony, Patmos wasn't exactly Disneyland. That's what I'm trying to say. And his words carried weight. So will yours. The more that you fix your hope, and the more he's expressed in his life to yours and mine. Lord, thank you for the truth of the word of God. Help us today, Lord, to recognize that all that glitters is not gold and all that shines isn't light. Give us a love that sees so that we can agree with the things that you approve. We want to be like you because we belong to you. In Jesus' name, amen.